This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
We've still got time for some questions or some comments to either Asha or Jackie. OK, has anybody got any questions?
Hi, I'm Tricia Hartley from the Campaign for Learning. Asha, I was interested in what you said about complacency and needing to rock the boat. And I'm just wondering if you can say a bit more about how you think you can go about doing that in ways that doesn't knock the confidence of teachers and learners.
Very interesting question. I'll come and stand here so you can see me. This is my challenge at the moment. Because, as I said, we have become a very confident, assertive organization and people believe in what they do. What I'm finding that energizing, keeping people motivated is very, very important all the time. When I give it a break, people start to miss that. And I do get asked the question, we have not seen you, we have not spoken to you, or yes, we are self-confident organization, but direction always helps. So the way I want to do this, the way I do it all the time, because this is not something which you stop and you start all over again, without knocking the confidence, is you are doing it. However, these are the challenges, these are the new ways of doing things, these are the things we have to consider, and so on. So starting from my senior management team to the next level, and so on. So this is exactly how I'm trying to address that. I do believe that if you think things are going fine and you leave things to rest, there is a danger. And I don't know whether you agree with that or not, but I start to see the signs. I start to see I'm receiving perhaps a little bit more letters of complaints than I used to. And perhaps there are a number of reasons, because people know if they write to me, problem will be solved. Or it's a combination, or it's that things have started to move in a way where we don't want to be. So just keeping a balance and that upbeat motivation right, but at the same time, hang on, let's wake up and challenge myself, not just people around me, but my own thinking, my own way of doing things, and that's about leadership. I hope that answers your question.
My apologies to the rest of the audience here. I don't want to make it my show today, but I do have a lot of questions I want to answer if possible. I don't have a problem, and nor does my teaching and learning group, with motivation, leadership, inspiration, aspiration. And this may be may need to be edited. I'm not sure yet. See how it goes. My greatest...
You're a brave man.
Well, you've got to be brave. My biggest challenge is not so much turning the staff around and getting them to be to have self-belief and be more motivated and do more challenging inquiry amongst themselves. It's getting the managers, and I use the term managers deliberately, to trust the staff, to have more ownership of what they do, to free them up, to experience their own leadership and have their own agency. I just wondered if you've got any answers for me.
I have got a very simple answer. And that is the question I'm going to enjoy so much. Change, convert your managers into leaders. That's your challenge. Because that is the recipe for success. And that's why I don't like the word managers or managing things. And I really have an issue with it. And as long as you have the energy, the strategy, the motivation, the charisma, the leadership, to turn every member of your staff into leaders, no problem. Don't even call them managers. And if they behave like managers, tell them.
Well, one thing...
Jackie. Absolutely.
I was just going to say that another idea is building into those teams somebody else who could lead on teaching and learning, like lead practitioners, who can then take the lead in another sort of way. And certainly I've had the same sort of problem. You get that sort of set way of doing things. And quite often these people are quite feeling quite threatened and aren't very open and don't want to reveal the problems they've got to you. But if you then and make an appointment of somebody who can really focus on learning and do some research about learning in the department and then take the lead on that. In a way, it gives, you know, some other leadership specifically about things that you think that aren't being led as well by the management. I'm sure you've done that.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying completely, and I understand all the concepts behind leadership and the strategies that you might employ. But when you're challenging your managers or your leaders, it becomes difficult.
Some people you can never change, and that's where you need to decide.
Yeah,
I'll leave it to that.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm Rick Stryver from Guildford College. In light of sort of the changes that are taking place with funding, I thought just to focus momentarily on learning and how you see increased learning taking place rather than teaching. I'm from the Netherlands, and we don't make a distinction between teaching and learning. Mm-hmm. You have leren, which is to learn, and you have a leraar, which is the teacher in our sense, and a leerling, which is the learner. And I'm just wondering, perhaps particularly from the college perspective, when we're facing difficult cutbacks, and obviously you as a leader need to be part of the team that's steering the college towards that, how we can continue to facilitate high quality learning without it necessarily being the place of a teacher to do that, and whether that's something that you're having to think of in your college. And inevitably people are talking about associate tutors or facilitators or instructors, etc., etc. I just wonder whether that's an agenda that's creeping into senior college management in terms of promoting learning.
My answer to your question, very short answer first, is we should not allow the funding pressures to come in the way of continue to develop the learning culture in our organizations. And we should not wait for the funding pressures to come our way to make our decisions different. We as leaders, we are responsible to run an effective and efficient organization regardless of the funding pressures. And if you work on that basis, what you continuously do, core business is teaching and learning. And what you do is to reduce your costs, reduce your amount of time spent on administration, systems, processes, and so on, so you can free up a lot of your resources and time and energy to continue to promote learning and learning for individuals. And this is exactly what we are doing in our college. We are not talking about instructors or other titles or anything. What we are doing is looking at our business support functions more and more critically, giving value for money in order to facilitate more resources towards learning. And this is a model which a lot of other organizations, they are looking at. People are talking about shared services and so on. I don't buy into shared services myself, because you have to create something which is fit for purpose and right for your own organization. So what we are doing, we have separated all our business support functions, and we are creating a model where people are accountable to provide that service to the core business of teaching and learning and giving value for money. And we will continue to develop teaching and learning further and continue to put resources towards teaching and learning. And it can be achieved. It can be done. As I said to you at the beginning, we have grown in size. We are financially strong. But the new challenges, they are going to be there. But the main point is you don't wait for those new challenges to come. If you have the ethos and the value right, this is how you want to run your organization, then you continue to evolve, develop, and do those sorts of things.
Okay, so no more questions or comments? Nothing from online? Right, okay, thank you.